With a shake of his head, Harry looked around for the mess hall. He'd arrived at Elmendorf Air Force Base the previous afternoon, and most of the buildings in the sprawling facility looked pretty much alike to him. Last night, though, before going to sleep in the room they'd assigned him and Delaney to share in the bachelor officers' quarters, Harry had checked the route from the BOQ to the mess hall and put it into his cell phone's memory. Now he pulled the cell phone from his pants pocket to orient himself. Damn. The phone was dead. No, he saw. It was getting power from the battery, but the screen said no connection. Harry looked up. A young airman was walking along the bricked pathway toward him. Hey, Sergeant, Harry said, noting the stripes on his jacket sleeve. Can I help you, sir? Feeling sheepish, Hartoonian admitted, I'm kind of lost. The sergeant directed him down the street one block and then to the first right. You can't miss it, he added cheerily. Harry, who had been raised in the tangled suburbs of Boston, thought of all the you-can't-miss-it locations he'd missed, but he went to the corner and turned right. And there was the mess hall, with dozens of men and women streaming into it, most of them in uniform. But what caught his attention was down at the end of the street, where a little day-glow orange tractor was towing ABL-1 out of its hangar. Harry gaped. The sight of the big 747, all white, never failed to awe him. It was an immense airplane, with that graceful hump up front and the huge, raked-back tail towering over the other planes parked in front of the hangars. Somehow she looked dignified to Harry, regal, like royalty, as she grandly allowed herself to be slowly rolled out onto the tarmac. Make it work, Harry, Victor Anson had told him. The company's ass is on the line. Sunshine Airways, Flight 19. Jerry Jaroslawski frowned as he sat at the controls of the Airbus A350 XWB. Halfway between Hawaii and California, he grumbled to himself, and the nav system craps out. Through the cockpit's windshield, he could see nothing but cloud-dotted ocean, steely gray and rippled with waves. Not a ship in sight. No land for another 1,000 clicks or more. Anything? He asked his co-pilot. Not a peep, JJ, said Pete Jacobson. Every damned freak is out. I'm getting some commercial stations, L.A. and Frisco, but all the air control frequencies are off. What the hell's happened to them? Something weird, the co-pilot said. Well, we'll reach the California coast in another couple of hours. We can go to VFR then. Jacobson nodded, but he looked doubtful. Jaroslawski shared his worries. Flying a big-ass jetliner on visual wasn't going to be easy, he knew. Always a hell of a lot of traffic at LAX. And the last weather report they got predicted rain. Those guys in the tower better have their systems working if they expect me to bring this bird down. What a time for the navigation satellite system to go kablooey. Jacobson started chuckling softly. What's so goddamn funny? Jaroslawski growled. It's like that old joke, the one about good news and bad news. Yeah? You know, the pilot gets on the intercom and tells the passengers, I've got good news and bad news. The bad news is that we're lost. I don't know where the hell we are. The good news is we've got a tailwind and we're making good time. Jaroslawski didn't laugh. He was thinking about trying to land this jumbo bird in the rain. LAX better have its comm systems working, he said to himself. If they don't, we're toast. Burnt toast.